The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello, I'm Peter Strachan. Welcome to this Stockhead Rock Yarn. Today, we're delighted to welcome back into the studio Rarex's Managing Director, Jeremy Robinson. Now, Rarex has a market capitalization of just $46 million and has recently delivered some spectacular drilling results from its Cummins Range rare earth and niobium project in the eastern Kimberley region of Western Australia. And I suspect that there are more results in the pipeline. So, Jeremy, welcome to the podcast. And can you first place the project for the listeners? It's nearby townships, access to tarmac roads, ports. And what part of Australia are we looking at here for this project?
Yeah, good morning, Peter. And look, thanks for hosting us on your chat this morning. To put Cummins Range into some geographical context, we're in the East Kimberley, as you mentioned. We're about less than 100 k's southwest of Halls Creek, only about 50 k's off the sealed Great Northern Highway. Our nearest port is Wyndham, about 350 k's to the north, so a very well-used part of the world for mining and mining infrastructure. We have the Savannah Nickel Mine nearby, the Halls Creek Gold Mine, and the former Ridges Iron Ore Mine as well in the Kimberley. All these mines were serviced by Wyndham Port, and the Great Northern Highway is always being upgraded, so it's a nice place to develop a mine. Rains a bit this time of year, so we're not there at the moment, but we've had an exciting year drilling, and we'll continue to deliver some results over the next couple of months. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Jeremy, can you just walk us through some of these results? There's an intersection that took my eye of over 100 metres at quite good grades of total rare earth elements.
Yeah, the hole you're referring to there, I believe, is Cummins Range Diamond Hole 4. That was over 100 metres at close to 2% rare earths and some 0.3, 0.4 niobium. Look, that's a world-class hit. That's in the guts of our ore body there. There's also some further drilling out, further out along strike from that, which we were very much excited about. But this is the diamond drilling we've been doing most of this year, really, and it was designed to prove a concept right, and we think we've done that very well with the drilling.
It's an outstanding result, much longer intercept than we've seen previously from the project. So how does this work change or enhance your understanding of the mineralisation and its geometry at Cummins Range?
The hole that we're really excited about and changed the – we're very excited about that hole, but there's another hole, CD11 – further northwest along strike from that one, which struck about 25 metres at 3% rare earths, including a 3-metre zone at 11% rare earth oxide, and that was in the primary part of our resource. And I guess what is very exciting for us this year is the fact that it's the first time anyone's looked at this deposit below the oxide. So the oxide is the top 100 metres of this resource, and below that is what we call the primary or the fresh. And everyone had only thought about this deposit as an oxide resource. The diamond drilling this year was designed to drill in the next 100 metres below that, so the 100 to 200 metre panel. And now we're getting really good grades and widths in that zone. And what that does is opens up the potential of this deposit greatly. No longer is it going to be a 20 million tonne deposit, but it opens up the possibility for this thing to grow to a 50 to 100 million tonne deposit with a bunch of drilling over the next 12 months.
Yeah, so it's fair to say that it's really changed the way you're looking at exploring the envelope that you currently know about and also extending it.
That's exactly right. Look, as I mentioned just before there, the previous interpretation of this deposit was it was a supergene upgrade process, which had created the high grade in the top 100 metres. But we got a clue in the drilling in 2020 that, look, this was more represented, what was seen in the oxide is possibly more represented in the primary as well. And the drilling we did has very much confirmed that. And we believe whatever's present in the top 100 metres could be present in every 100 meter panel below that. So,
yeah,
you know, these deposits being carbonatites, very vertically extensive, give us enough money next year, and we would like to drill it down to, you know, 300-400 meters and really grow the tons on it.
Yeah, so that's, I think, the important thing. It was my next question, was because some of the higher grades were really seen at the boundary between the depth of oxidization and the fresh rock, and you would have thought, oh yeah, it's just some sort of supergene enrichment. But no, I mean, you're getting high grades in the fresh rock below.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's the whole point of the drilling this year, and this is what I'm trying to educate people on at the moment. As I mentioned, that CD11 hole, 25 metres at 3% rare earths, and within that 3 metres at 11% rare earths. I mean, 11% rare earths is really stunning stuff, and we got that in the CD11 hole, and we believe we'll see it in further holes to come as well. Really sort of takes the blinkers off in terms of what this deposit can be. Our geologists are super excited. They had this theory, and they proved their theory right with the drill bit this year. And they're very excited to get back out there next year. Probably look at some geophysical techniques over the summer as well to see if we can better target these zones. But in any event, it's just a matter of doing more drilling now.
Yeah. So how does this mineralization compare with other deposits we know about, like Mount Weld and Hastings Yangabana project?
Yeah, look, that's a very interesting question, and that's something I've put to our geologists to answer over the rainy season. The initial belief on this project was the supergene process was the same that occurs at Mount Weld, but we believe it's a slightly different style of deposit to that. It's probably most closely linked to Mount Weld in terms of it's a circular carbonatite intrusion. But it has very much different characteristics to Mount Weld. Mount Weld is very much driven by the supergene upgrade process to give you the high grades in the top 100 metres, but ours seems to be more structurally controlled. It seems to have the high grade present in the oxide and the primary. But, yeah, it's something that we are scouring the world for analogies at the moment, and it's something we hope to develop our geological model on over the wet season, which will guide our exploration next year.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of this really will really direct your metallurgical test work. And I know it's fairly early days for you, Jeremy, here at Cummins Range. But what sort of metallurgical test work has been done to develop and look at a processing route for this mineralization by you and by previous people who've been drilling there?
Yeah, certainly. Look, the metallurgy to date is, as you'd expect, is focused on the resource we've known about, which is the top 100 metres, the oxide. So we've been focusing on oxide flotation there, also looking at some magnetic work as well. We've been able to replicate the previous test work, which was done by Kimberley Rare Earths in 2010-11 with the assistance of some Chinese groups. But their initial test work has given us, you know, 60-70% recoveries to a 20% concentrate. We're focused on improving on that. But in terms of what we're moving forward with, we're also going to start looking at the metallurgy in the primary as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the work's been done on the oxide mineralization, but now you've got this fresh rock. It's a bit of a different kettle of fish.
Yes, very much so. Look, we're only just beginning to understand what the fresh rock looks like, but we have taken samples, as you would expect, from the drilling, and we've given them to our engineers and metallurgists and consultants and said, you know, have a look at how this performs metallurgically in an upgrade process. Just by my experience in mining is that normally the metallurgy in primary is easier than the oxide because it's normally a simpler mineralogy. It's normally cleaner minerals. You don't get all the strange secondary minerals that are present in oxide zones. So we would expect it to be better, but we're in the process of doing that at the moment, that test work.
And just visually looking at the core that you've in your announcements, it's this breccia, which is all broken up bits of rock with the monazite, which I guess is the main host for the rare earths. And it looks like there's quite a bit of differentiation between the bits of the different types of mineralization from a color point of view. And I guess I'm looking at the potential there for some sort of pre-upgrading. And we've seen people doing this at other projects. Yangabana has had some success at getting sort of taking raw ore and getting most of the mineralization in 75% of the mill feed sort of thing. So is that something you would look at as well?
It's something we are looking at, Peter. Yeah. We've taken some samples and provided them to the ore sorting experts. And as you say, just by looking at it visually, you get this grey-brown massive monazite chunks within pure white carbonatite. So my rule of thumb on ore sorting is if you can see the mineralization visually, it's probably got a very good chance of responding to ore sorting. And that's, yeah. I mean, once you get your eye in, even I can spot the massive rare earths in this white carbonatite. So if I had a bet, I would say it should respond to ore sorting. We wouldn't be the first people to look at ore sorting in rare earths, in primary rare earth deposits, the likes of Northern's, Hastings, as you say, and also Vital Metals in Canada are very reliant on ore sorting and getting good results. So.
Yeah, and there's other, you can do it by density, by colour, by fluorescence or what, you know, in case of tin, yeah. Tungsten, you know, if it fluoresces, it's ore. If it doesn't, it's waste.
Yes, that's right. I mean, ore sorting has come in leaps and bounds in terms of its computing power that it uses. But in our instance, I say we'll just be looking at a colour sort of ore sort.
Okay. So the other, back to the commercial part of it, earlier on you looked at a basket of commodities, you know, the content of different types of rare earth and niobium, and you've come up, I think it was $34 US a kilogram. How's that changed over the last 12 or 18 months?
Yeah. Look, we published that basket price, you know, 6 to 12 months ago. At the time, NdPr prices were around the $80 a kilo. NdPr makes up, you know, 80% of our basket. Our basket was probably closer to $50 a kilo at the moment. In fact, I know it's closer to $50 a kilo because I checked it before talking to you because I thought you'd ask me that one. Our basket price doesn't include the niobium, it just includes the 17 rare earths, the 15 lanthanides plus yttrium and scandium. Look, rare earth prices are really good at the moment. They're the highest they've been in 10 years. You know, they're high for good reason because we need them in increasing amounts. But yeah, in answer to your question, our basket price is very strong at the moment, which leads well to the economic aspects of our project.
Yeah, so you said early work showed that you could get a recovery of sort of circa 60% into a concentrate, but you've basically looking at a team of people to put together a feasibility study here, which will include additional metallurgical studies, Jeremy.
That's right. We're undertaking a scoping study at the moment with some industry-leading experts. We've brought a project manager on board to guide that process. And that scoping study has solely been constrained to the oxide part of the resource, but I dare say I will expand it in the coming months to begin looking at the primary, the fresh rock part of our resource as well, which could significantly change what we're looking at in terms of the project scope and scale.
How much more drilling is there still in the laboratory? How many more holes are we waiting for assays for?
Yes, look, we drilled 18 diamond holes this year, and I believe we've only released 5 to this point. As is common across the industry, the turnarounds are slow, and not only once you get it to the lab, it's getting it to the lab is slow, which has led us to, you know, finish drilling while we're still waiting on most of our results. But good news for shareholders and potential shareholders is we will be delivering assay results over the all of December and most of January as well, so plenty of news to come. It won't be into a vacuum over the next couple of months. We'll continue to deliver good results.
So once you've got these additional results, will you be modelling an open pit shell, so based on the a basket price of commodities to sort of capture as much of the mineralization you've got that's commercial?
Absolutely, we will. Yeah, we run pit optimizations from time to time for our own internal consumption. On the back of this drilling, we'll develop a new geological model and see how that looks with the resource. And yeah, we will be running some pit shells to see what's inside the pit and what's outside the pit.
So, what was the estimate prior to this drilling? You were talking about tons earlier on. What was the pre-existing estimate? And you say you're looking for a much larger resource now that you've got this fresh rock mineralization.
Look, the resource that we had, previous JORC resource, which was based on the drilling from 2020, was 19 million tonnes at 1.15 TREO and about 0.21 niobium, including a higher grade portion of 6.5 million tonnes at 2% rare earths and 0.4 to 0.5 niobium. The drilling this year was designed to prove our concept right about the presence of high grade mineralisation at depth. So what this will allow us to do in the first instance is probably create an exploration target, which will really show people what we think the scale of the resource can be, and that will be an exploration target for us to drill into next year.
Okay.
We will explain that to people over the next few months as to what we think the scale and scope of the project can be now, and yeah, that's probably where we'll take it.
So very exciting, and you've said you've embarked on a scoping study. What's the timeline there to get? I mean, once you've got the drill results in and you've done the metallurgy and you've put your head around some of the economics.
Yeah, look, we've said publicly the scoping study, the Q1 of next year, but that scoping study was based purely on, what we'd seen prior to this drilling in terms of the oxide portion, the top 100 metres. So there's an internal discussion whether we expand the scope and the scale of that scoping study to start looking at the fresh as well. I dare say we will, but at the moment we're on the record as saying we'll deliver a scoping study by Q1 of next year.
Yeah, it makes sense to put in all the information you've got at the time, I guess. So I guess the final thing, Jeremy, is you're spinning out Cosmos, a couple of the sort of non-core assets, so you can focus on rare earth elements, and you're going to retain, I think, a 25% stake in that. What's the progress there?
Cosmos listed yesterday, actually, Cosmos right. Exploration, and we'll retain almost a 29% interest in that. We decided to keep it on the balance sheet and not distribute it in specie. We believe in the project, and we think, any discovery made in Cosmos with our 30% shareholding will reflect in an uplift to Rarex share price as well. So that company is fully funded now with $5 million and some really good nickel copper PGE, inverted commas, Julimar type targets. That's up and running as of yesterday.
Oh, very exciting. And so what's the current state of play with funding at Rarex?
We're well funded for what we've undertaken this year in terms of our drilling and study work. Next year I'd like to go do a lot more drilling. We do have some equity investments we can lean on to at least fund part of that. We're well funded for what we're doing at the moment. Before we go drilling next year, we'll have to consider what we do, but in terms of the scope of the drilling program we undertake, but we do have equity investments. We've got almost $5 million in equity investments we can lean on to support our drilling next year.
Okay. Well, that's going to be a very interesting 6 months as you're doing the scoping study, and then when you get back in once the wet season has abated, it's going to be very exciting to see how the results from the work that's still in the laboratories informs the drilling going through 2022. So I think it's going to be a really pivotal year for Rarex, I think 2022, you'd agree, with the metallurgical work and the price of the neodymium, praseodymium key elements there being so strong. So thanks for coming into Stockhead today, and we'll look forward to getting you in once you've got your scoping study under control.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Peter. It's been a very exciting year for us, and I think we're on the verge of really unlocking the potential of what Carmen's Range can be in 2022. So
indeed.
Thanks very much for letting me explain it.
Been a pleasure. Thanks.